Welcome to the Farm Answers Podcast. The Farm Answers Podcast takes a deeper look at projects funded by the USDA National Institute of Food and Agriculture's Beginning Farm and Rancher Development Program and how they are reaching beginning farmers and ranchers.
The Southern New England Farmers of Color Collaborative works to prepare beginning farmers of color and provide them with the necessary skills to build and sustain successful farm businesses. Their BFRDP-funded project includes a land access course, peer-to-peer learning groups, and a stipend program for beginning farmers. I'm your host, Megan Engel, and today on the Farm Answers Podcast, I sit down with Karen and Julius, two of the founders of SNEFCC, to learn more about how they are helping beginning farmers in Connecticut, Massachusetts, and Rhode Island.
I'm Karen Spiller, and I am a Thomas W. Haas Professor of Sustainable Food Systems at University of New Hampshire, Durham. So I have the honor of being a member, a founding member of the Southern New England Farmers of Color Collaborative. And it was a coming together of people who really want the most for our farmers of color, want to create an opportunity for connection, an intersection of the hopes and dreams and aspirations that they have for growing in and growing of, and just creating that kind of space for that. It was always about increasing the success. So whatever that looks like to them, being able to make the connections, connect the funding, connect the resources, connect the heart, connect the learning, connect all that. And that is, when I think about those of us who were around the table envisioning what this could be, it was all about holding them close. And again, the success that they feel in the growing, in the learning, in community. So I'm Karen Spiller, and I have the honor of being one of those who committed to this collaborative, and I have other hats I wear. Food Solutions New England is a six-state network. So Southern New England Farmers of Color, we decided very early on we're going to focus on the southern states because they're most populated and a way for us to get started. Certainly, whenever you do anything in any part of New England, you're touching point of all of New England. So certainly our focus has been Rhode Island, Connecticut, and Massachusetts. And again, we have partners naturally in our food system work that are in all those states and beyond.
We try not to repeat most of what Karen said about the South New England Farmers of Color Collaborative. I am one of the founding members also. I think Karen used the word connect, and I want to say one or two things about the word connect, a little different from what she said. I think it's a recognition that we need to grow, not just in what we grow, but in terms of who we are, what our community is looking for, and how we begin to speak to the need of the community, not just here in Rhode Island, but in Connecticut and in Massachusetts, because there is that population, there is that hunger to do this. There is the hunger to lean on somebody who knows a little bit, somebody who needs a training, or even just be in the space of the conversation. That was part of the motivation that led to this group being created. My name is Julius Kolawole. I'm the director of African Alliance of Rhode Island. We are located in Providence, Rhode Island. I spend most of my time on growing food, talking about the culture aspect of it, talking about the art of it, and talking about health of it. You are what you eat, and food is medicine. Those are what I call my day job.
How does the African Alliance of Rhode Island connect with the Southern New England Farmers of Color Collaborative? And can you give our listeners just a little bit of a background on that organization and its purpose?
I'm also part of Food Solution New England, that six New England states that Karen talked about. So we knew each other from that point of view. We also knew a few other people who are part of the founding. We have been talking to one another, and something else that I think I should add, and Karen can jump in. From that Food Solution New England, we also, I am an ambassador to Food Solution New England. Karen is, in fact, she chairs that group, the so-called ambassador. So we've been together, talk about the need, the connection, the networking, the challenges. We've been talking about that. And there's another co-founder who she lives in Connecticut. So we met. We met and we began to, I think in Karen's word, break bread. That's one of our fancy words. We break bread. We talk about what can we be, what we have, and what can we be, and how can we be. And that was the beginning. And the rest is history today.
With the Southern New England Farmers of Color Collaborative, you hosted a land access course, which included 7 weekly virtual learning sessions. What were beginning farmers able to learn through participating in this course?
Megan, I want to, just one thing I was thinking about, Julius, is that the pandemic came for us. It came from all of us, and it shifted a lot of the in-person things we had planned. So it caused us to figure out how to use Zoom for all of us. And so the development, as Julius is going to share, the framing of all that, it really was, and Julius, I'm thinking about the shift we made, because, you know, we are people in person people, right? We love to be in person, and we planned, all of our plans were around coming together, coming to a meeting, going to the farm. You know, it was all in person. And so we did have to spend some time in shifting that to meet and respond to the current health conditions so that we could continue to weave, communicate, connect, come together.
What I will add to that is the fact that we recognize within the urban communities, within the so-called underserved communities, we need to have a good understanding of land, if we're going to grow, whether in growing the produce, or grow in knowledge, or grow in networking. Land becomes a staple in those conversations, and learning about land access is so critical. In fact, we cannot do anything without that knowledge. Number two, many of us don't have a lot of money, so we tend not to attempt to even acquire or to even ask questions about land. What the land access did for us is bring all of those questions, those challenges to the table. To talk about land, to talk about the process, to talk about what it takes or what it will take. And one more point from BFRDP, and I will cite myself as an example. We tend not to go there, okay? We tend not to want to talk to anything USDA. We tend to stay in our own little street. So when this became an opportunity, it also opened that door for us to learn about USDA, to learn about BFRDP, to learn about the advantages, and to gain the knowledge about land access. What does that mean? So before we even begin to send the application out, what we did was create a committee to look into what should we do. Application went out and a lot of people applied. I think we were talking about 54 people. That's a lot. A few seconds ago, Karen talked about COVID. I don't know how much you know the impact of COVID on the nature or the culture of who we are. The best we do for ourselves is 3 inches from one another. COVID said do 6 feet. Well, that's not going to work. It was a pain in the neck. But we faced the challenge. We overcome it. We ran the land access. I can say to you, many of us were damn happy, really, really happy. The fact that we're able to survive the Zoom during COVID, for me, that's exceptional. Really, really exceptional. I don't know how else I can emphasize it. But I also want to mention one other thing. It's not just of a few of us who form the core group or the so-called founders. It is bringing those who look like me into it to realize, yes, you can call Karen to ask a question, or you can call Julius to ask a question. Maybe somebody knows somebody, or maybe somebody have done something that you can learn from. That was also knowledge that was not there. The BFRDP made it possible that we brought ourselves together, and we get to ask all these silly questions.
With the land access course, I mean, it was all from, you know, how do you identify the best land for you, you know, based on what you want to grow, you know, based on the condition of the land, the values of the land. Julius, you're doing this every day, you know, out on the land, deciding where to plant this and where to plant that. And sometimes we don't certainly have an opportunity to decide what land we have, but we can also take that moment to decide how to make it work for us, right? Make it grow for us, make it produce for us, make it nurture us. We can do that. So I think that, as you're saying, coming together was so important. And even in ways that are different, because going on the land was where we like to be, not on the computer. But it certainly was a way to find the shared values, right? They're there. The shared community that's there, that we're all trying to learn, all trying to grow, and all trying to feed our community. As Julia says, the medicine, and the medicine is for the body and for the soul, the spirit, and the community in terms of our neighbors and beyond, our children. Well, Julius, you know, you talk about this a lot in terms of a lot of what we do right now is for our next generation. Mm-hmm. It's for our children's children. I think that that's what keeps us so earnest about how we stay in it, how we want to learn, how we want to access resources. Julius said, yes, let's figure out how can this particular resource work for us? How can we tap into that and bring it in to amplify? So I think, yeah, when you think about who we are, I think we brought ourselves, Julius, right? We brought our whole selves to this.
Well, the next thing I wanted to talk to you guys about was you guys manage some peer-to-peer learning groups or farmer circles that really build a strong network with beginning farmers. Can you talk to me a little bit about these farmer circles and what they're doing for the beginning farmers?
When you say what they're doing for, I would say doing with, because we have, we always thought of it as a place for them to come together, because we are, even in our individual states, we're on different parts of the state and may never see each other, never in community, because we're working our land. And so the farmer circles was to give that connection, again, back to I can shared resources, shared knowledge. You've got knowledge I can use. I call it fair exchange and no robbery. One of my friends used to say as we were younger. So it's an exchange of knowledge, exchange of resources, exchange of strategies on how to deal with those deer. Because we have our colleagues and farmers up in New Hampshire are dealing with deer chewing up their crops. And we may be down here with other pest management having to deal with. But the farmer circle really is designed. We've designed it for what is it the farmer wants to do? What is it in that circle they want to dig deeply into? What challenge do they want to address, and what opportunities do they want to bring in? In the model that we have had envisioned was that a farmer is kind of leading that. You know, we're going to certainly do all the logistics for it. You know, it would have been, you know, identifying the site and the refreshments, the nourishment. But yeah, now we're on Zoom, so it's scheduling Zoom meetings and getting all that set up. It is really for them, by them, in that way. And so we're finding that it is a good space for, and I use the word solutionizing, coming up with what you want and coming up better together, right, with being able to identify the different pathways that they can take in that effort. So we have Connecticut launched earlier about a year earlier, Julius, right?
Correct.
And so they were meeting. It was interesting. Sometimes they were meeting like through holiday seasons, like every Sunday, no matter what was happening, they were meeting because they loved that opportunity. This is still the online. And we launched the Massachusetts and Rhode Island in 2023. And they're meeting for a couple of hours once a month. But it is their choice. They want to meet once a month, what day of the week, what time of the week. It is their choice. And we're there to support. And so the Farmers Circles have been a place for coming together, looking at policies and practices that are in the state that maybe you aren't familiar with, resources you're not familiar with. I think I'd like to just mention that one of the things that we were very intent on is making connections to, like Joyce was talking about, the USDA and funding, also conferences. What conferences are happening? What funding is happening in the region that we may not know about unless you're on a listserv? And so we have a newsletter we send out once a month, and we have an email list. So we update all the time. And then there's an Excel where has the conferences that are happening. It has the professional development. We say somebody's having a workshop on or training on. We pull that all together and keep it ongoing for them to have an update. So that's one of the things that supports the Farmer Circle as well, is that ongoing information and connection to what is going on in the region.
Given my own experience, I had nobody to talk to. I had nobody to lean on. I get baptized when I have discussed to prove it. What Farmer Circle said is, come dream with me. I'm here to listen to you. That's what Farmer Circle did for all of us. Those who are aspiring, those who are deepening different level, find ourselves in the room. I give you an example. My farm was scheduled to have a high tunnel. I have no idea how to go about it. But by that, talking to one another, I found out somebody has done it. I found out a group within the Farmer Circle agreed to take a Saturday to go and help another farmer build. If we are sitting in our living room or in our lane, that will not happen. Farmer Circle said, come dream with me.
And we have been able to come in person, joining in person.
Yes.
Most recently.
Yes.
In Rhode Island and in Massachusetts and Connecticut. And we're always intended for that to be in person. And we are now in the process of planning, hopefully April, but we're targeting April as the three states, all three, Rhode Island, Massachusetts, and Connecticut, coming together as Farmer Circle and doing all of what Julius just shared.
I don't know how we're going to top that, but moving on. Another large part of your program is your stipend program. So who can apply for this stipend and what can the funds be used for?
So the stipends, we had two processes, but it's for farmers of color. It's Connecticut, Rhode Island, and Massachusetts. And the first one we did was focusing on, we called it Seeding for Success. And so it was really, you actually could get funds for seeds and small tools. And it was certainly well received. We were intending to distribute 30 to 50 stipends. And most recently, I think we just distributed the funds. So those are seeds, and those are like planting seeds, right, for those getting started. And the one we just implemented, meaning the funds just went out, was for, we called it a tool library. Mm-hmm. So they're building their tool library. And so it was a range of 5,000 if you're applying as a group, because some have cooperative farming that they're doing. And then it was a 1,500 for individuals. Again, for tools, some penny was investing in a tractor, different ranges of equipment, but it was more equipment focused on the things that you wouldn't have the funds for. So not the little handhold, but something more substantial. It was helping complete the cost or the down payment for a piece of equipment. We also, and we were talking about stipends, so we've given conference stipends. just recently, at least 30 plus farmers went to the urban farming, Black Urban Farming Conference in Philadelphia. And it covered their travel, their registration, their lodging, and their mileage and meals. So that's how stipends were made to support the ongoing learning and community. I mean, cannot say enough about our farmer circles, but taking a farmer circle to a national conference and you're in hear it constantly from them still, they were in this room of, it could have been 1,000 at least, farmers of color. And this might have been, it was many of their first time in such a place. It was like being in a candy store, just all the richness of people that are doing what you're doing, look like you, have ideas, have knowledge, have that skill that they can pass on. You know, how do you handle your okra? How can I make it get this? Or how can I do my collars? How can I take my beekeeping to market? It was such a rich, it's one of those examples of a rich space. So that's another way we talk about stipends. We stipend the travel, the support to be able to go to conferences. And that was probably one of the larger ones, but we do the regional, like there's NOFA Mass, NOFA New Hampshire, NOFA Connecticut, NOFA Rhode Island. And they have been going to those as well.
Just want to emphasize most of your point from the human element. We are talking about beginner farmers. We are talking about generally communities that don't have funds or free money or extra money. And we are asking us to grow things without the tools. We cannot use our fingers. We don't have enough money in the pocket. All of a sudden, somebody say, here is some money you can buy a wheelbarrow. Here is some money you can buy a rake. Here is money you can buy a compost. You are easing my pain. You also said, hey, I'm going to take you out of your neighborhood. I'm going to send you to Philadelphia. I don't know how many of them never flew an airplane. I have no idea. So when you begin to look at the human element of this program, it's tremendous.
Well, and it's one thing to feel connection in your community at home, but then be able to go somewhere so much bigger and still feel like you're in that community. That's a wonderful experience that you're giving these beginning farmers, for sure. So with the Southern New England Farmers of Color Collaborative providing great learning opportunities for beginning farmers, could you share a success story of a farmer who was able to start farming or prepare to start farming after participating in your program?
It's hard for me to choose anyone, right? Because they all are. And at any point in time, I'm sure Julia is thinking the same way. Any point in time, we're all learning. We're all successful at that moment in time. And, we talk about the continuum of learning. So it's hard for me to say this one or that one.
Yes, I'm thinking along the same line. And I think I can just use myself as a typical example. Today, as I speak to you, I have about 6 or 7 people I can call and ask questions. In my farm, we created what we call a learning plot. So you have space, you can grow what you want. There's technical support available to you, and you can ask questions. You can dream, you can do whatever you want. And we are there to say, it's okay. So the deer came and ate some of your okra. It's okay. That's what they do anyway. To a conversation on you need to companion grow because pepper takes months. So it's like you bury your money. It takes a while before it yields. What do you grow along with the pepper so you can harvest before pepper is ready? Those seems like a simple thinking until you get into people who have no clue. Then we also talk about harvesting. This is for a new farmer. Sometimes when you are new to this, you can't comprehend the whole structure beginning to the end. So harvesting is a very interesting subject. So you spend time tilling, clearing, seeding, irrigating. Voila, you need to harvest. The first thing is, for the first time, this is yours. You did this. It smells different. It tastes different. Okay? You feel ownership. But there comes with another problem. You have to harvest every week. So what do I do with all this? Okay, now you are happy you are harvesting. Then you call your friend. All of a sudden, your friend wants to know, oh, you did that? Oh, I want to try too. So this is what happened at my farm. Again, as Karen said, it does not serve the purpose to pick on somebody, but I can pick on myself, and that's part of it. The secondary comment I will add to that is, the conversation continues. It did not end. That conversation continued, which I think is powerful. And currently, and I'm beginning to see an uptick for me to grow things, get in the farm, get in the garden community as well as the farm. And all this work we've done is beginning to yield results. Secondly, we are saying that food is expensive. Well, that is true. It is also true that when you grow your own food, you are printing your own money. You can calculate how much you save because you grow the pepper, because you grow the tomato, how much, not only the taste, but money in your pocket. You're printing your own money.
Do you, either of you, have any advice for someone who's considering participating in one of your programs?
Come ready. Ready to learn, ready to share, ready to grow, ready to be in community. And that's what it is. It's a combination of we want to bring whatever we've got, you know, whatever we can bring in terms of knowledge and skills and resources and tools, we want to bring them. But it's also, as a farmer, bringing your full self to that. It's, again, fair exchange. We want them to, it's theirs. What do you want? What do you need? There are some things that we thought, we had a whole list of what we thought would be helpful. And it sometimes it works and sometimes it doesn't. It's their space. And I want them to say, you know, that was nice, but we need this. Or I saw this over here. Can we get this in our state?
What should I say to a new person who wants to participate in this program? You know, the number of friends I've made that I never knew, the series of conversations we've heard, the intimacy of meeting, say, Saturday and spending some quality time together. Most importantly, the laughter that goes on in the room. They sound like little things, but they are critical. And we get up and we live as if we've acquired new strength, new energy. That's what I would say to the new person to come in, join. Once you taste fresh vegetables, hardly do you go back. One of the recent work we did, we interviewed the community during the COVID. We had we interviewed them. Just want to give you a few words from the community. The lady said, I can walk to a Dunkin' Donut. I can walk to a fast food joint. I can walk to a Chinese restaurant. But you are my supermarket. I think that sums it all.
So similar lines to that, do you guys have any advice for someone who's looking to develop a similar program in their state or region?
I'm sure we can share lessons we've learned. Our process has not been perfect. In fact, if it's perfect, something is wrong. There's no such thing as linear. It doesn't exist. Okay, we just beg God to give us more mountains than valleys. That's all we ask for. Anyone want to apply, want to submit, and there's need to talk to any of us, we will be glad to do so. And I'd like to end my this few comment by saying something my father used to say, or it's a proverb. He says, stepping out of your house is to learn. All of us need to step out of our house, because every time we step out, we learn.
Also, just recognizing that it's not a destination, it's a journey, and really embracing that it's never a linear process. So it is recognizing and being open to and being able to move, you know, move with it.
Well, you both have shared so much great information on your project. But as we close out the episode, where can people go to find out more about the Southern New England Farmers of Color Collaborative?
We have a Facebook page. It's SNE Farmers of Color. And we are on Instagram as well. SNEFCC is our acronym, so you can search with that as well. We are almost to the point of developing our website, so that will be coming. We have a landing page, again, if you Google SNEFCC.
Wonderful. Well, thank you both for joining me on the podcast and sharing more about your project.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for having us.
Thank you for listening to the Farm Answers Podcast. This episode was hosted by Megan Engel. To learn more about this USDA National Institute of Food and Agriculture's Beginning Farm and Rancher Development Program project or other BFRDP projects, visit farmanswers.org. The Farm Answers Podcast and farmanswers.org are funded by the United States Department of Agriculture National Institute of Food and Agriculture and are a product of the Center for Farm Financial Management at the University of Minnesota.